Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
He refused to sustain the sinful. I am saying no to that because of the more valuable identity with Christ.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
We've been looking at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The Bible says, "The just shall live by faith." He's quoting out of an Old Testament statement, and he sums up, really, as a Christian, you say, this person calls himself a Christian. How should they live? He should live by faith. Does that mean that as a Christian that you never get into difficulties and problems? Absolutely not. Fact is, that's the exhortation, and then chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 gives an explanation. This is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on to give us, starting in verse 4, multiple examples. And we're talking about the life of Moses. In Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Moses is responsible for all four of those books. I think also Job. And out of those four books, unveil a life of Moses that the writer of Hebrews summarizes in the verses you have in front of you and highlights important events that all sum up in these two words, by faith. And I would suggest to you that even today, you and I've got to live just as Moses lived, by faith. That is what the whole point, when you find Hebrews 11, when he talks about Moses, he started making choices. And those choices were put because he was in a rock and a hard place. And I have no idea where you are today, but for most of us, we get to a rock and a hard place. You're stuck. You're stuck in your marriage. You're stuck in your job. You're stuck in your relationships. You're stuck financially, and you don't know what you're going to do. And that is where God put Moses, and that is where God is going to put you and I for the same purpose that you choose to live by faith. And these are four observations I'd like to make out of this particular passage. What are they? And I think what I'm going to do right now is just walk through the brief life of, and we'll make it brief, of Moses, and then make these observations, because this is what the passage is dealing with. Because you end up finding that Moses, when the Bible says, first of all, in verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Let me read through verse 24. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, what does he mean by all that? Write this statement down. I think it would sum up what he's talking about here. And the two of five statements by faith I'm putting together, the rest of these will work off of by faith. I put them together because he's talking about his parents and Moses, both of them by faith. And this is the choice they made that I would summarize. Number one, if you're taking notes, that in other words, he refused to sustain the sinful. And the key words is, and the operative words is, he refused. The Bible says he refused and he chose. You take Moses' life, you can put it into three sections. All of them 40-year sections. You find Moses as a son who was a Jewish little boy that his parents, as we see, did not fear the king. They did not say, we're not going to have children or kill our children and throw them into the river. And so they believed God that was going to protect them. He was a goodly child. He was a beautiful child. When you looked at Moses, and every parent would understand, my child is so beautiful. One of the few times in the Bible that you see that it documents Moses, there was something about him. They put him into the little ark. I think there was an understanding that, boy, if we can put him just the right spot and cover him, we can get him along the reeds and eventually it'll show up because the steps of Pharaoh's courts went right down into the river that they worshiped. And here Moses now floats along, who was then, for 40 years, they put him in a place of learning everything that you need to know about how to run a government, how to run people. And all the time being weaned by his own mother who showed up and said, hey, someone's got to wean this baby, I'll wean the baby. And God providentially provided all that for the first 40 years of his life. And you can take him from the bulrushes to the backside of the desert because the next 40 years is when you know the story, when he ended up killing the Egyptian and Pharaoh found out about it, he ended up leaving Egypt and for 40 years, Moses was on the backside of the desert. And those 40 years in the backside of the desert, he was now a shepherd. And those 40 years as a shepherd in the backside of the desert that God ultimately now at 80 years old, Moses finds himself now at a burning bush. You summarize Moses' life, bulrushes, backside of the desert, burning bush. And at 80 years old for the next 40 years, Moses is the one that God uses to record what we had going on right here. You say, well, Pastor, why go through all that? Let me tell you why I go through this. Because he's no different in his life than your life. Because I really believe Moses is an example of someone that God moved from being in a worldly setting to start making choices. And the first one he made was this right here, that he refused to sustain the sinful. He refused, he chose, and at that point he realized at 80 years old, I'm going to lead these people. He was insecure, he was unsure of himself. He was not wanting to be put in the place of leadership that he was. But God said, Moses, you're the man. You are the man, Moses. And at that point, by living by faith, he said, just as his parents who established a pattern, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Then enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Listen, Christian, just because you got saved does not mean you have eradicated your sin nature. You still have a sin nature. And now when you sin, you can still sin with pleasure because there is pleasure in sin for a season. You can go off and do something. And man, I enjoy that. But you're never going to sin with peace. So there is daily accounting of your sin to say, God, I want to keep short accounts. Hey, God, I know today my attitude is not right. God, I got proud. God, I shouldn't have said that. Then, Lord, hey, forgive me. I accept that forgiveness. Positionally, you are forgiven. But practically, every day, you're saying, God, this is where I'm at, and I accept that forgiveness again. That is how you move forward spiritually. And saying, hey, I can't sustain that sinful. There's things in my life that aren't right. I want to get them right. And that's what Moses did, and he chose. He actually said, it's interesting, in verse 26, when he said, the reproach of Christ is greater riches. Literally, he saw the distresses of his own brethren, and in their distress, he too was distressed. He identified with Christ by saying, you know what? The things that are important to me right now, the treasures of Egypt, I am saying no to that because of the more valuable identity with Christ. You will come to your life somewhere along the line, Christian, that you will say, you know what? These things seem to be important. But I am saying no to that. I'm breaking him off because this is more important, my relationship with God. And sometimes that is as painful as someone breaking their arm. I'm going to say no to that relationship. I'm going to say no to that value, that priority, that something I just so want so bad. But in light of eternity, God's saying, you know what? You don't need that child. You don't need that. It's important, but it is not more important and it's not more valuable than your own eternity. And every one of us get to that point regularly that God gets us to that point of saying, all right, am I going to sustain the sinful? Am I going to say, no, I don't want that. I don't know what that is for you. But when you understand that, you move, number two, to understanding as well. That Moses as well, he decided to leave the familiar. That's what he says in verse 27, by faith. Notice what next in the verb he forsook. He forsook Egypt. He was not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. What does he mean by that? He had already spent 40 years in the backside of the desert. He saw the burning bush and he saw him who is invisible. And it's the same term you find in Hebrews 11 in verse 13 with Abraham. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, as having seen them afar off. It's the same thing, Noah, verse 7 in chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. And those are the examples of the explanation in verse 3 when he says, as those things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He was living in light of the fact that I am choosing to forsake what might be there for what I don't want. You know what? I really believe, I know what would produce such faith in all of us would be 10 seconds in heaven or 10 seconds seeing Christ's face. Our whole life would change. This is what is truth, my friend, and there's no other experiences that you got to have to support that. That's why Moses got to the point of understanding. He decided, he chose to leave the familiar. And there are many that are every day having to make the decision, you know what? God, you want me to do this? We have folks living in the sound right now that are part of our ministry that have chosen to do right there. They're leaving the familiar. Many of our people that are teaching for us, what is familiar to them? They're saying, you know what? I'm not going to do that because God, you've called me someplace else. I'm going to forsake that. And when you do that, you move to as well with Moses here, who it says in verse 28, number 3, that he was willing to do the unusual. You know what he's willing to do the unusual? For him, the unusual was not just refusing and choosing and forsaking, but verse 28, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And you find the documented account of Moses here, who was told by God that you need to end up taking a lamb and shedding that firstborn lamb and spreading the blood on the doorposts. And I'm going to pass over the angel of death, and I'm going to end up destroying every firstborn in that home that is not covered with the blood. That made no sense. Raymond Brown made the statement, quote, the instructions were strange, the demands costly, a lamb without blemish, and the ritual unprecedented. But they did precisely as they were told. In simple faith, they kept the Passover. Moses actually instituted this as a lasting ordinance to be done year after year, which means that Moses never doubted that he would go on and be delivered. Hey, this had never happened before in history. And the Jews themselves today, that's why you had the whole setup of the Passover that ultimately became what the Jews knew as the covering of sin, because a lamb's blood covered sin. And ultimately Christ came to fulfill that. And all through Scripture, you end up finding the theme of the blood and a covering of sin that comes to the point of the cross, that God said, now, I'm not just going to cover your sin as a lamb's blood covered the doorposts, but I am coming to take away your sin. I am the Messiah, Christ said. I am that lamb, the slain before the foundations of the world. Let me tell you something. If you miss that, you've missed the whole point of the Bible. You will end up being relegated to religion in which you're doing, 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 thinking, God, is that enough? Is it good enough, God? I read a book called How Good Is Good Enough by a guy named Andy Stanley. Great little read. Excellent little expose on really, you take all the religions and put it into one simple category. Good. You're doing good stuff that can get you to heaven. Or Christianity. It's not how good you are. It is if you're forgiven. It's that simple.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.